I learned then too that when you ask the Lord to come into your heart, he's got to fill you. But if you're filled with your own garbage, there's not a lot of areas that he can fill. You have to get the garbage out. You have to surrender your heart. You have to constantly be in tune with the Lord, you know, to be quick to ask for forgiveness when you've done things wrong. And you sit there and you ask him, what do I need to be forgiven for? He'll show you. He'll show you things in the past. He'll show you things from long ago. He'll show you things from yesterday. And, you know, even with an attitude or a heart, you know, intention, anything. And as you get those things out of your heart, he can fill you more and more.
Hey there. Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelly Hankins, and we're here to share real stories of God's power. Stories of hope, healing, and miracles that will strengthen your faith. No matter what you're walking through, we want to remind you that God is good and he's still moving today. Let's dive in. Y'all, I am so honored to welcome back Elise Price to the God's Goodness Podcast today. You may have heard her recently alongside her husband, Michael, a former pastor with such a powerful story. That episode was so rich, and I knew before we even finished it, there is more to unpack with Elise. She's a retired pastor's wife, a devoted grandma, and right now she's in a full season, painting rooms, showing their house, chasing grandbabies, planning a beach trip, and yet she still said yes to this conversation. We didn't plan a set direction today. We're just opening our hearts and seeing what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So before we dive in, I've asked Elise to open us in prayer. So Elise, would you do us the honors?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father, that you are God, that you are the lover of our souls, and that you've given us all a purpose. We ask that your will be done today and that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. And we ask that you be a part of every word today. We ask that you would touch the people's hearts who are listening and bless them and help them in any way that we can today. And we ask that you would bless each and every listener. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that. So, Elise, you've had a lot going on lately between the grandkids, you're selling your house and painting and getting all the stuff together. And now you're taking some beach time. And how are you really doing in the middle of all this? Like, what's God been speaking to you in this season?
Well, he has been definitely teaching me to live in the moment because I'm a planner. I like to have things all organized in their own spaces and everything is just colliding at once. So I have to continually lay it before him each time, each minute as things come up. And just taking one task at a time. And I finished painting the house. The house is on the market now. We're actually getting showing requests and all that while I'm sitting here. So
wow.
It's just been a lot. But it's just continually reminds me how much I need the Lord. Instead of reacting in my own, you know, nature and stressing out, I just have to really stop, take a breath, and focus. And see what the Lord is going to do and look for opportunities to witness or show my grandkids what stress looks like and how to handle it or whatever happens.
Nice. I know it's cliche, but it reminds me of let go and let God.
It really does. It really is too. Yeah. I mean, I'm painting the wall one day and the cat comes running through the paint. I'm like, oh no. Oh, okay. My. So now we have to stop and clean up the mess.
Oh my.
And Ellie's just looking at me. I have her in her little walker and she's in her little space and the stairs are guarded and she's wanting to get in the paint. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe this wasn't a good day to paint, but I know you told me to. And so he's just really teaching me to wait on him and really teaching me to be in the moment. And there's just so many things around us that want our distractions, but I have to stay close to him these days, really close.
Mm-hmm. How hard of a transition is that? I know my wife is a very type A personality, likes to take charge, make plans, do things. How difficult is it to surrender your time? We all know that God is supreme, but and we know that he's center, but sometimes it's hard for us to put him first.
Yes, it is, because I'm a type A, more of a type A personality also. I'm very I can be introverted a lot, especially if I don't know somebody. But take example for our house, we kind of know where we want to land and we picked out the neighborhood and, you know, they will not allow us to put a deposit on the house till we even get a contract on ours. Hmm. So it's really trusting the Lord that, okay, you know, I have to pack my house up. I mean, we're not even guaranteed to close on the same day that our house is. So I don't have an answer for all these things. So do I put my stuff in a pod? Do I put it in a storage? Do I leave it in a U-Haul for a couple of days? I mean, I don't even know if we're getting the house we want. So I have to kind of like prepare for everything, but not know anything, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the direction we got to go. So my type A personality wants to take charge of everything, have everything in a tidy bow and keep it on track, and nothing is going on track. So you have to surrender it. My heart gets anxious. My heart gets troubled, you know, and I have to, when I get into the moments, I have to really stop and recognize where my heart is, and Lord, help my heart. Just make it be still. Let me trust you. And sometimes I have to do that every minute. Sometimes it's every hour, and sometimes it's just once a day. It just depends on what's going on.
Hmm. That reminds me of this one video I was listening to today. It was Act As If Everything Always Works Out. And so it's basically telling you to act in faith as if it'll work out. And then it kind of programs your mind to expect it to work out. And then you end up making choices that it will work out. So yeah, the faith walk is really important. And when you trust in God and take one step at a time, just the next step that you can, you don't know how it all is going to work out, but you know it is. And then he always blesses each step you take, and then it reveals the next step.
Yes. And that is true. I mean, even sometimes we get answers, you know, in preparing for all this, we just get led along the way. I mean, now that we know we may not close the same day, we have our next step. Okay, now we have to plan. If it's just a couple of days, like I said, it's going to be the U-Haul. If it's going to be a week, we don't know. So we just have to trust that, like you said, as the days go on, we'll get confirmation and the Lord will bring that to fruition, you know. And it's very hard sometimes to live trying to plan everything, but waiting on the Lord to tell you each day for your nugget. And, you know, it's the same way Jesus walked. I mean, we have to really focus on not always knowing the answers, but focus on him to lead us every hour and not stress out over at the end of the day, maybe I'll get the answer. Maybe I won't. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. But you just have to be content and have your heart in line and in tune with the Lord. And you have to do whatever that means, whether you pray every minute or every couple hours, as your heart, you know, selects anxiety.
Hey, friends, real quick talk. Not long ago, I had a brutal 4-day headache. My podcast coach, Jenalee Samuel, messaged, "I wish I could put one of these patches on you." I asked, "What patches?" She sent me her episode on LifeWaves X39, non-transdermal patches that use light to support the body. No drugs, no chemicals, just light. Wildly enough, Kim Clement once prophesied healing would come through light. Since trying them, I've had better sleep and more energy. And Josh, he's even been pain-free when he wears them. And the stories we're hearing, they truly sound like God moving. I'm not saying patches replace faith, but if you've been praying for breakthrough, maybe this is part of the answer. Curious? Tap the LifeWave link in my About section. Of course, they're not meant to treat or diagnose anything, but wow, the testimonies are powerful. Now, back to more of God's goodness on the show.
So was there a season in your life in the past where a similar circumstance of you not being able to be in control that shaped you to the point where you are now? For instance, you didn't trust God in the past and you just were headstrong and went right at it, where now you've kind of learned a little bit of a lesson. And even though it's causing you anxiety, you're learning to just breathe and let God.
Yes. So my upbringing was not a very good upbringing. I came from a divorced home. My parents were divorced. Yeah. My stepdad moved in a few days after my dad left. And we were forced to call him Dad. We were not allowed to call him anything else. And I was Daddy's little girl. I was 9 years old. I went running down the street after my dad's car, not understanding. So I didn't meet the Lord till I was 23. Although the Lord did reveal to me just recently, not too long ago, that I did get the chance to go to church. I was invited to church by the lady across the street and her kids. And they lived across the street from us for almost 2 years. And they never really came out of their house. I did see them every Sunday go to church. And they asked me to go to church with them. And I said, no, that's for good people. I'm not a good people. You know, I was 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you don't want to come near me. I have a lot of stuff at home. No, no, no. Well, they insisted. So I went back in and I did. You know, I'm a people pleaser, too. Back in the day, not so much. I still do. I'm the peacemaker of the family and all that stuff, you know, now. But so I went and asked my mom. I'm like, okay. She goes, oh, do what you want to do. So I went, and I remember being in this church in the Sunday school class with them. And I remember them asking if you wanted to ask Jesus in your heart. I really didn't know what that meant, but I thought, well, maybe I need him. I don't know. So I prayed the prayer. I did not realize, and I meant it with my heart, not knowing what it meant. All through the years after that, I kept hearing, because there was a lot of other situations that happened at home, but I kept hearing the words, there's something more to life than this, just hold on. And I can vividly remember 3 or 4 different times in my life up until I met the Lord and knew what I was doing at 23, that those words came to my mind. But I was searching for love in all the wrong places. I didn't know the Lord, and I was full out rebellious. And then I met the Lord when I was 23. It was a moment where I was at church and he was telling me my whole life story. I'm like, okay, Lord, I know now that you're speaking to me because you've got my attention and my heart's racing. So I did walk down to the altar. I gave my heart to the Lord and asked him to be my savior. And after that, I didn't meet my husband till about 10 years later, but I was still working on all the baggage of my life and all the abuse and things like that. And so when I met Michael, I was probably 10 years after that, but still dealing at that point with control issues. You know, I had to control everything because I had to control who was going to hurt me and who wasn't going to hurt me, mm-hmm. and trying to control the outcome. So to my own detriment, when we got married, I was still working through some of those things, and you know, I would have to control everything. And sometimes I heard God say, oh, no, 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 wait. But I didn't wait. And then I wound up, you know, hurting Michael really bad emotionally because he couldn't do things right. You know, so we worked through a whole lot of issues because of my past, too. And so, you know, waiting on the Lord and choosing my own will, that was back in the day. It was very hard for me to wait on the Lord. And now looking back at it all, I can see, you know, the messes I've made by not obeying and keeping my mouth shut versus today letting him steal my heart and letting him, you know, control my thoughts. And that's where my biggest battle was in my mind with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have a whole argument in my head with Michael. You know, mm-hmm. the whole outcome, how it's going to play out in the ending. But he hadn't even had a word said, and I didn't have a word said. So, mm-hmm. you know, those were the things that I dealt with in the past in my own childhood that made me that way. But, you know, God is slowly unraveling them all. And do I still do it right every time today? No. But I'm more apt to now. I want to please my Lord and Savior, and I want to do the right things. And I take the step back and, you know, try really hard not to make a mess of things and do my own will.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this season that you're in now where you're learning this patience, which is ridiculous patience for someone like you? Do you see this as a step in your healing process?
Well, I'm sure. Yes, it is. I mean, because God works everything for the good, and he's doing this for me and my patients. And, you know, there's always something I'm going to be learning, and I'm not going to be under construction until the Lord brings me home. And I don't always still do things perfectly, but I am quick to listen more than I was. And I'm quick to ask for forgiveness when I mess up, mm-hmm. and I'm going to mess up. But yes, patience, God has been teaching me that. And I, even this season in my life now, where everything is up in the air, I have to wait for those nuggets each day for the direction God wants me to go and surrender what my plans are and my type A personality wants to do to him. And I have to ask him, what do you want today? How am I supposed to do this today? You know, and I just give it to him in prayer and just wait for an answer. And he may choose to answer me at that moment, or he may choose to answer me later in the day or later in the week.
How scary is that?
Oh, well, I've learned 10 years ago, probably would have put me over the edge if I'd had this 10 years ago. Today, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm waiting, I'm hearing, I'm going to listen. And, you know, and there's another moment in our lifetime, you know, between Michael and I think we were, that was in 08. So Dylan was 8, Zoe was 5. Those were our kids. I was homeschooling them at the time. And we had, I knew I would only be homeschooling them up to high school. So in high school, they were going to go to what I thought was a Christian high school. And Michael was starting to show signs of, you know, that was his first diagnosis. At the time, they thought he had MS before they recalled it. And he was having diabetes issues. And I was like, okay, Lord, what is this going to look like? You know, it was one of those times when it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, you're kind of awake, you're kind of asleep. You kind of was like, was I dreaming? Was I not dreaming? But I can remember saying, how is this going to work? How am I going to put my kids through school? What is that going to look like? I stayed home at the time. I wasn't working. And I heard the Lord say, it's going to work out. I have it. Okay, well, what about a house? Where am I going to live? What am I going to drive? What am I going to do for money? I have it. Well, what about Michael? Is he going to be there? How long is he going to be there? And every time I asked him a question of my biggest fears, he came and said, I got it. Trust me. I got it. Those are the three answers I got for the three biggest questions I had. And so now, looking back on the past, looking back on him teaching me patience, and looking back on the things that he has brought us through victoriously every time, individually and as a married couple, he is faithful. He can be trusted. And it may not always be what I look like, what I think it should look like, but it's always perfect. I've learned that his way is always perfect. Mm-hmm. I've learned that even in with this move, you know, and everything up in the air, it's going to be so much better than I can even plan it to be. Mm-hmm. And I'll be more fulfilled and more satisfied than I could have even made it be.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't share just anything on this podcast, but when I came across LiveGood, I knew I had to tell you about it. It's a wellness company founded by a Christian CEO, and it's helping people take better care of their bodies and their bank accounts with high-quality supplements at honest prices and a powerful system that's blessing so many families financially. It's rooted in integrity and is changing lives. If you've been praying for something more health, more provision, more purpose, this might be your open door. Click the link in our About section and see what it's all about. I truly believe it could be someone's answer to prayer. Now, back to the show.
You know, I've always said that your relationship with God, your heavenly Father, it directly correlates with your relationship with your earthly father. And since you kind of got a little mixed up background with your earthly father, do you think that played a huge part in your trust issues with God and letting him direct you?
Absolutely. So when I was 23, I was saved. 6 months later, I got married the first time. My husband wound up cheating on me with, you know, women and men for drugs. He got addicted to cocaine and drinking. We tried to work it out several times, and he finally came home and said, it's not my problem, it's yours. And I remember being on the floor before God asking him to release me from this marriage. He chose not to. He said, wait every time and forgive. So after the third time, the big time that I thought I was forgiving again, he was out for days. I never saw him. He bankrupted the bank account. And backing up a little bit, I kept hearing, don't cast your pearls before the swine. I had no idea what that meant. I was a brand new Christian. Mm. And I had to really search out what that meant. But, you know, after the third time, I really felt the Lord was saying, you may go now. You know the truth. You know, because I was assuming I knew the truth, but it wasn't until he finally admitted that all these times he was out drinking, he was out doing drugs, and he was out with other women and other men. And I then learned the truth. I still chose to forgive one more time and go to counseling and do all of it that I felt that the Lord was telling me to do. And I waited when I was supposed to wait, not understanding and laying out on the floor crying, like, why? Well, I don't understand. But all that to say, yes, I know that my Heavenly Father's view of what it should have been versus what my earthly father, it played a huge role. It was very hard to trust the Lord because of the father that I saw. The father that I saw and loved abandoned me, didn't come back. I saw him 3 times. And the last time I saw him was when I was 18. He came up and introduced himself to me at my grandfather's funeral and asked what side of the family I was on.
Wow.
And
wow, that's hurtful.
I just was dumbfounded and hurt and crushed. And I'm like, okay, then I don't need you for a father. You know, that was my attitude, and I wasn't saved then. But at the same time, I'm like, how could you? I was daddy's little girl, you know. So it was very hard. I didn't trust anybody to take care of me, much less, you know, my husband. And we went to counseling and, you know, did all the things we were supposed to do. And he came home and said, I am not willing to change. I'm going to stay this way. And I heard then the Lord say, you may go. You know the truth. You waited on me. You would have left when you wanted to leave, you would have not known what he'd done and the unmarital unfaithfulness and all of that. So I'm protecting you. So he released me from that. And I'm as sure as that as I'm sitting here, because we've had huge conversations about it all the time, the Lord and I. And I waited when he said, wait. And I cried through it all, and I'm not understanding. But, you know, but he used all that. And then 6 months later, you know, well, so I was saved, you know, in June of 20, when I was 23, married the first time in December, 6 months later. And 6 months after that, I had my breakdown. And that's when the Lord really dealt with me and my issues and the codependency and all the abuse. And it was during that time that the Lord was teaching me to trust him as well as a brand new Christian, what that even looked like. I remember laying on the bed thinking, what's my favorite color? What do I even like to do? What are my hobbies? How should I even act? Because I had, at that point, I reached my counseling in year and a half where I felt like I was completely empty. I did not have anything left in me. I was broken. I was empty. I couldn't cry anymore. And, you know, it was just something. And I was like, I don't have the answer to those 3 questions. I don't even know what I like to do. And I just laid in my bed and I thought, Lord, you have to fill me with what you want me to be. You know, I'm empty. I don't know what I want to do. You have a purpose for me. I've heard that, you know, and I gave him my heart then, you know, the year before. And I'm like, now you have to fill me and help me to be what you want me to be, because I don't know what I want to be. I don't know answers to anything. So, and over the years, you know, and I learned to trust, you know, men and Michael, even through the marriage, you know, because then being divorced, I'm like, I'm not getting married again. No way. you know, and the Lord led me to Michael, you know, a year later. And I'm like, okay, Lord, okay. Is this really from you? You know, did I do everything right in my marriage early on? No, you know, because I was this perfectionist. I was type A personality and I tried to control everything. And, you know, the Lord was gracious. He healed both of us through all that time too. And, you know, he had his own issues that he was dealing with at the same time. And the Lord still managed to grow us together. And then we also, you know, healed separately. And then we healed together in some instances. And the Lord is a perfect master of putting things together and healing things together and doing the perfect construction of our lives.
I love that you said that you were empty. And then you said you just asked the Lord to fill you. Like, what a perfect container to have the Lord fill than one that's not already full of junk. Right. One that's ready to receive everything he has. And it doesn't obviously remove that the container was flawed, that you had your own personality kinks and quirks and such, like type A personality, and he still uses that.
Right. And I'll never forget the time, too. Shortly after that, I went through support group, and that's where the Lord led me for where my ministry was. I went through a support group, and it was called Search for Significance, and it was at my church where I was saved at. And next to being saved, that was the second biggest thing that taught me about the Lord, to trust the Lord, who I was in the Lord, my identity in Christ, all of that. And God orchestrated all that at perfect timing, because had I not had that, I wouldn't have even learned who I was and what my inheritance was, you know. And I learned then, too, that when you ask the Lord to come into your heart, he's got to fill you. Mm-hmm. But if you're filled with your own garbage, there's not a lot of areas that he can fill. You have to get the garbage out. You have to surrender your heart. You have to constantly be in tune with the Lord, you know, to be quick to ask for forgiveness when you've done things wrong. And you sit there and you ask him, what do I need to be forgiven for? He'll show you. He'll show you things in the past. He'll show you things from long ago. He'll show you things from yesterday. And, you know, even with an attitude or a heart, you know, intention, anything. And as you get those things out of your heart, he can fill you more and more. I liken it to like a garage. You know, we put all these things in our garages so we have no room in our houses for them. But when we take everything out and sweep it out and keep it all clean, only then can he keep us filled to where he can use us completely.
Mm-hmm. Hey, friend. Sometimes all it takes is a good, honest conversation to find clarity. That's why we're now offering affordable one-on-one coaching and mentorship sessions. If you're a believer looking for breakthrough, clarity, or spirit-led direction, these hour-long calls are a space to process, pray, and move forward. You can book your session now with special listener pricing. Just head to the link in our About section. I'd love to connect with you.
You know, I firmly believe that when you were 14 and you said the prayer and believed in your heart, even though you didn't know what that meant, that he took that seriously. You may not have. You may not have understood it, but he did. And as you said before, your heart was already full of a bunch of junk. So he really couldn't get through to you until you emptied all that junk out. In a moment of desperation, right? He meets us at our lowest points often. He can meet us in our high points. He can miss at any point. But he often finds us in our lowest point, because that's when we finally let go of who we are and decide to let him be who he is. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's just what a beautiful transformation. I'm glad that you were actually saved at 14, and that he holds a promise that we can't, that he held on to that, even though you couldn't even measure up to what it meant. And he held on to that promise. And he said, no.
Yes.
I absolutely love
that. He strung me along the way when I went to make huge mistakes, you know, or when I was broken the most, you know. There's more to light than this. I have you. Mm-hmm. I had no idea where those words were coming from, but they kept giving me a hope not to give up. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kept thinking, okay, where's that coming from? But okay, I'll take it.
How long did it take you to realize that was the Holy Spirit speaking?
Well, I was saved at 23, and then it wasn't until Search for Significance the next year when I was 24 that the Lord was just putting all these things together. So when I finally realized, you know, how the Holy Spirit worked and that I was filled with the Holy Spirit, then he connected the dots for me. You know, I had forgotten that I had asked the Lord that prayer when I was 14. I'd only remembered that a few years ago when someone was asking me my testimony. And then all of a sudden that just popped in there. And I'm like, that's it. That's where those words came from. Although I knew how the Holy Spirit worked, but the whole piece of asking him to be my savior at 14, I didn't really remember it because I didn't understand what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But like you said, he knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. And he took that promise to heart.
Yeah, he sure did. And he protected me from a lot of things because, you know, like I said, I was 14 at that time, but you know, we never had a curfew. I can remember getting my brother up at 9 years old, getting him ready for school, walking us to school. My mom and we would walk to school together. She'd show up a little bit before we left to make sure we had everything, but there'd be times she'd call me on the phone when I was 10 or 11. I'm not coming home. I'll be home late. Here's how you cook dinner. Get the pot out, fill it up with water. She was at work telling me this. You know, wait for it to boil where you see the bubbles. And she'd walk me through making spaghetti out of a box with, you know, the spaghetti sauce. You know, and so there were so many things, you know, looking back on. I had so much time on my hands. It's a miracle of God that I didn't get into more trouble than I did. Not having curfews, you know, and everything I tried to do, like in my 20s before I met the Lord, I mean, he made sure I hated it. I took my first drink. You know, I swore I never would drink because my father turned out to be an alcoholic. You know, now I tell my kids, don't even mess with that. You know, you don't know if the devil's going to use that with you or not. Your first sip, you'll find out if you're an alcoholic or not, and why take the chance. But I didn't have that wisdom for my own self, you know, when I was 15 and 18 and 20, you know. But the first time I tried to take a drink, you know, I can remember being 20 years old. I was afraid of everything because, you know, my dad drank, but I did it. And oh my goodness, the next day, I mean, I remember falling. I was with my girlfriends, flat back on my back, like I passed out. And he made sure I never took another drink after that because of the reaction I had and the friends I was with, and they took care of me. But, you know, it was so, everything I tried to do was so extreme up until the point I knew what I was doing. And I knew now in hindsight, after I was saved, looking back on it, I knew the Lord was, that was his hand on me, protecting me.
Incredible.
Wow. So when he does all that, reveals to you what he saved you from and what you could have been, and he gives you these little visions of, you know, he gives you visions. He lets you see things sometimes, the answer to things. And when you realize it was his hand on you all this time, you sit back and go, oh my, thank you, Lord. You know, and that helps you trust him more and more and more. He's trustworthy, absolutely.
Now, is there something God's been highlighting to you lately, like through scripture or prayer, even in the day-to-day speaking to you, that you could feel could encourage someone listening right now?
Well, my life verse, I found it 15 years ago, and it's Isaiah 43:19. And it said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So making a way in the wilderness and making a river in a desert, those are big words. And the Lord can do all of that. There have been times in my life where it's been so dry and so desperate. And I've seen him make the rivers in the desert. He'll make a way. And when you trust him, he will do that. And so anybody listening who's hurting, who has a broken heart, who may have had a past like mine, our Lord Jesus Christ is so trustworthy. He can work miracles if you keep your eyes open and look at him and trust him. Mm-hmm. He can heal your heart. He can give you a new life direction. He puts desires in your heart that you don't even know you want or need, you know, and I could not have planned my life any better. Looking back on all of it, would I change anything? No, because of who I am today, who he is in my life, and where he's bringing me to. You know, it's like an adventure. I keep my mind and my heart open, knowing that life is an adventure. And it's going to be the greatest adventure. You know,
yeah.
Is it always going to be easy? No, but and if I didn't have the Lord on my side, I don't know that I would make it. I would not make it.
Yeah, I don't know how people do that.
Because the Lord is there, he's got me in his hand. He's got my kids, my husband, me, everybody in his hand. And he's got the hurting person who's been through so much in his hand. You know, and one of the biggest things I can remember during my healing, I was sitting there crying. I avoided my mom for 2 years because I was the angriest at her for allowing things to happen that happened, for bringing the people in our house that did it, you know, and I was not ready. And she would never call me from her house because it costed her money. She called me on the 800 number at work where it didn't cost her anything. But I had the luxury of 2 years that I needed to heal. Mom, I can't talk right now. I have to go to work. You know, it's not a good time. And finally, one day she said, I'm coming and I'm coming on Thanksgiving and I'm going to see you. Hmm. And I remember sitting in my pompousan chair, having my quiet time, and I was scared. I was not ready to see her. I didn't think. I was still angry at her. And I was almost to the point where I was forgiving her. And I knew the Lord was working on me to forgive her. And I can remember it to this day. I'm like, Lord, I need a hug. I don't know what I'm going to do or say. I don't even want to open that door. And he gave me the biggest hug I could never. I mean, I knew it was a hug. I felt it was a hug. I just felt a peace and a calm and a tightness wrapped around me that. Mm-hmm. And he said, I got it. So, I mean, she did come. It was awkward, but it was good, and he allowed it to be. And today, you know, I led her to the Lord 2 years ago. The Lord was gracious enough to forgive me where I had, and I forgave my mom. He worked on me and worked on me and helped me to heal. Now we're friends today. And here's this, you know, here we are. We are friends. She is saved. Now, was I always that happy to have her around throughout the time that she was saved? She was saved 2 years ago, Easter. I moved to North Carolina from Florida, and she announced that she was coming up here as well to live. And I'll be honest, we never lived in the same city, and we could never really take more of each other than 5 or 6 days. She was manipulative. She was controlling if things didn't go. I mean, I'd be driving, turn here, park here. Let me think for myself. You know, that's my flesh. You know, after so many days of hearing that and telling me how I did think and feel and move, I kind of like, okay, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. But then I'd have to give it to the Lord and stop and breathe. And, you know, she was the only Bible, because she was a Catholic, a diehard Catholic, and they were brought up differently and so ritualistic, and she held on to those things. You know, now she was also had a lot of hurt in her past too, because they excommunicated her when she got divorced, so she had a lot of hurt from the church. And she lumped all churches in Christ as the same. And the Lord reminded me several times throughout my walk with him in all these years, you know, you treat a stranger better than you treat her. Ouch. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me with that. You know, and then again, he'd remind me, she's the only Bible. You're the only Bible she's seen. Okay, Lord, that's a lot to put on me, but okay. You know, but he likes our honesty. You know, you have to be honest with the Lord. You may not always like it, but he's giving to you. And there have been times where I've sat. And then the last thing that I really had a hard time with was when she announced, like I said, she's moving up to North Carolina with us. I'm like, why? Why, Lord? I got on my knees and I'm like, I don't like it one bit. How am I going to deal with her on a day-to-day basis when we can't even stay 5 days together? I don't understand this. You know, and I'm like, you have a sense of humor. And I poured out my heart to him, and he was big enough to take it. And until we actually pour our heart out to him, like that garage I was telling you about, to get all those feelings and emotions that are not of him out, we can't be used. We can't be filled. He can't change our hearts. He can't let forgiveness and healing take place until we do. So, you know, as time went on and she was preparing to come up here and we were looking for houses for her, you know, the Lord told me, you're going to be the key person in her life that she's going to see me through. And I'm going to use you for that. I'm like, okay, those are some big, hefty words. And you're going to need to do this because I cannot. You know, you're going to have to show me the error of my ways. You're going to have to show me the attitudes that are going to come with it. And I knew there was going to be attitudes that come with it because I'm fleshly. I had hurts. You know, there's even been times when my kids were born that Michael and I had to draw the line, you know, and that she can't be left alone with my kids because she picks on them. She hurt them with her words and boundaries had to be set. And I wasn't putting my kids in that.
I feel so sorry for her. because she's a product of how she was raised, right? Exactly. And so all her hurts are just projected of what was hurt her.
Yes.
And she's,
and the Lord showed that to me too.
Oh man, I feel so bad for her that she had to go so long before you brought her to the Lord, that she had to go so long before she could finally start healing. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that she got to that.
Mm-hmm. I am too. I tried to witness to her. My kids were born, so it had to have been, at least since 2000. I'm going to say it was before he moved to Pinellas County. So it was somewhere between 2000 and 2008, somewhere in there. We were going down Alligator Alley in Florida from Fort Myers to the other coast, and the alley was the only way to get there. Desolate. You broke down there, there was nowhere but swamps. Hmm. This little highway went right through there. And anyway, I remember she was driving. I was witnessing to her, and I was telling her, you know, what Jesus Christ did for us. And he died on the cross for us. And we were born of Adam and Eve. And, you know, we have sin in our life because of that. They chose to sin, and we're all born from them. And I laid it all out and then told her that Christ didn't want heaven without us. And he died on that cross and took our punishment for our sins, you know, to make us right with the Father so we could go to heaven and we have full forgiveness. And I can remember her looking at me, and I remember thinking, that's not her face. That's the devil's face, because it almost looked like a gargoyle when she turned around. She was like seething. And I'm like, oh, it took me back. Mm. And she says, I'm glad you found your crutch, but I don't need one. Mm. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And the only words that I could mutter, and I think I even said them out loud, was, Lord, forgive her. She doesn't know what she's saying. You know, she doesn't know. And so I prayed for her all these years. And then she announced she was coming. And I was like, oh, no, it's real. You know, and I better start. You know, and that's when the Lord really revealed to me, you thought you've forgiven her, but I don't think you have. Mm. And that's when the Lord forgiven, you know, showed me I still need to work on things. I fought it for a few hours and probably almost a whole day, to be honest, and more than a few hours, but, you know, a whole day before I finally said, okay, Lord, it's your will, not mine. She's coming here. You're going to have to help us live together, and you're going to have to make a way. Here again, my Bible verse, where there is no way. And you're so faithful to do it all these years, and I know you're going to do it again. And the biggest joy was to lead her to the Lord a few years ago.
A couple years ago.
And I could see the Lord changing her. I could see, you know, we're friends. We do things together on a regular basis. And it's been a blessing. And she waited a while to get baptized because she wanted to make sure she knew what she was doing and understand it all. And she was baptized last year. Mm. It was just a glorious moment. So are things still perfect between us? Do we still have issues? Sometimes we do. But now it's different because she's a Christian and I'm a Christian. And now not only are we just mother and daughter, we're also sisters in Christ. And we also really try to please our Savior. So we both trying to take a step back and we give each other grace.
And one day you're going to enter eternity together and all that nonsense will be far, far behind you.
Yes. Yes. You know, and I had to heal without the blessing of her. Without her blessing, because she for years never wanted to talk about it. I remember she asked me one time, how come you don't like your stepdad? And I looked at her in the eyeballs. I said, are you really ready to hear it? Hmm. And she shuddered and she said, and she's changed the subject. So I knew she loved it. But, you know, and then that's when the Lord revealed to me, you need to move on. You need to heal. You need to, forgive with my help, you know, because you can't do it on your own without her blessing. And without the blessing of understanding why all this happened. And, you know, the Lord orchestrated it, you know, last year, the year before we had our talk, completely took me off guard that we were going to have that talk. And she now understood why I reacted the way I did all these years. And I understood how she reacted all these years. I still don't know her story behind her, but I do know her mother, my grandmother, and that was another heartbreaking moment in my life. My grandmother was like the best loving person ever, but I never saw her true colors until one day she stayed at my house And I saw the manipulation and I saw the contention and I saw her using my husband against me at that time and how mean she was. I was like, it took me, I remember standing there blinking, like, is that really my grandmother? Oh my gosh, that is so polar opposite than what I knew her to be. And I had to say something to her, and I knew I had to. I was a Christian then, and I was like, okay, you can't stay here. You have to go home now because I can't allow this in my house, you know? And that was heartbreaking. So then I kind of do understand why my mom was the way she was. Mm-hmm. If that was the only piece I got to see, I understood.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, you know, like you said earlier, Josh, that she has her own story and I don't know what it was, but the Lord allowed me to see a little bit of it and how she turned out the way she did. There is a story behind everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody, how they react, you know, grief comes in different ways. Every person is different, how we take grief in, how we handle it, how we live our life. And it's not until the moment we meet Jesus that we can actually handle grief the correct way. Mm-hmm. And he helps us through the grief. He helps heal us through the grief. He starts it and he finishes it for us. Mm-hmm. And we may have to walk through it again, you know, a couple, two or three times until we have totally forgiven people and those in our lives that need, that he wants us to forgive, so we can be whole and we can be usable. And mm-hmm. he promises to do that for us, and he does. Mm-hmm. And like Paul says in the New Testament, forgetting the things that are behind us and focusing on the things in front of us. And that's what Christ wants us to do. He doesn't always want us looking in the rearview mirror and being stuck.
Mm-hmm. I think looking in the rear view is only acceptable if you want to compare how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
yes.
And to prove, like, hey, he's done it before. God can do it again.
Exactly.
Right. Not to dwell on who you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to, like, this has been, like, encouraging, because there are a lot of people who have Catholic relatives who don't want anything to do with Jesus or the church because of their past with the Catholic Church. And we've had pastors that used to be Catholic, and, you know, your mom's story, she used to be Catholic, didn't want anything to do with the church. And it just goes to show that prayers do get answered, and there is hope for people praying for their relatives that seem far from the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know my biological mom, she grew up Catholic, and she doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. And I'm like, what did they do to you? So we can just keep praying for people like that. And because God can change anybody. Look at Saul. He used to kill Christians and then he turned into Paul. And it's just amazing what he can do mm-hmm. in people's lives.
And you get to have a front row seat eating with popcorn if you want to see it. It's yeah. really awesome to watch.
Oh, what a relief that must have been to bring her to the Lord. And then another thing that I was reminded of, when you, a lot of couples are married, there's a lot to get used to in the relationship. And one of the things I had to learn was, it's not wrong. It's just different. And you just have to be happy that the, you know, for example, the dishwasher was loaded, you know, it doesn't matter how, as long as all the dishes fit in there, just, it's not wrong. It's just different.
Right.
And, right. And, that I,
it took me a while to learn that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm a hard learner sometimes.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah. I had a lot of learning that. And it was good, though. It's a good lesson to learn. And I hope people can learn it early on.
Yeah. And I'll never forget one of the first times learning it. After so many times of Michael showing me grace, he looked up at me and said, isn't there more than one way to do things that we can get to the end?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me and stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, wow.
You're like, I guess.
There it is.
I would tell Shelly.
You were being so nice about it.
Yeah, I was not as gracious as Mike. I would tell Shelly, we could do this two ways. You can do it or you can have me do it. But if you tell me how to do it, then you better do it because you already know the best way.
Yeah. It took him a while to get there. He wasn't always that nice either. But I think he was so exasperated, he didn't know what else to say. Yeah. And I think, you know,
that's like a God answer.
That was his desperate way of saying something has to change. And it got my attention.
Yeah.
You know, and that, but yeah, he, you know, and if I wasn't always the one, people weren't going to tell me what to do because I've been told what to do all my life with my mother, you know, where to turn, how to turn, when to turn, what to wear, what, you know, everything. I mean, so no, don't tell me what to do. And that was my own fleshly rebellious side. And God had to change that because it was not easy to change
a
perfectionist with that, you know, much of trying to control everything either.
Yeah, the letting go is hard. And then another thing I resonated with was you'd have a whole conversation of how your husband would react. And then you tell him and he's like, why would you think that? Yeah, the whole conversation, exactly. And you're like, oh.
I'll never forget the time I told him that. I'm like, I already had the argument in my head. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you did it. I argued with you. I had the answer of everything you were going to come back with, and I fixed it. And he says, all without me present? I'm like, yep. And at that moment, when I was so proudly telling him that, I'm like, oh, wow, that really, really stunk. You know, look at you just let him completely out of life. I'm like, yeah, okay, that didn't work.
Never mind when we lose the argument and then you're mad at us. And we have no idea. Exactly. We're like, well, are you mad? And you're like, you want to know. I'm like, I have no way of knowing.
You're not kidding. There have been so many times that I was upset with him, pulled him off in my head, had the argument, fixed it, and he had no idea all this had happened. And it was eye-opening. I mean, the power of our minds and our thoughts and where we carry ourselves to, you know, God has really been showing me that these last several years.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, there's a reason why the enemy likes to play in our mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it starts in the mind. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to choose where we're going to dwell. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm really trying to learn more scripture. You know, I've always kind of had scripture memory in my mind, but, you know, right now, I think the Lord is trying to teach me and not be tripped up, you know, just dwell on scripture. Psalm 91, I'm halfway through remembering that. And it's been wonderful. And when I go to choose to dwell on something I shouldn't, I focus back and try to go back to my scriptures and memorize that instead mm-hmm. of dwelling where my mind shouldn't.
Good mm-hmm. tips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elise, thank you so much for sharing what would be a very vulnerable past with us and our listeners. Thank you for being open and honest about it and on your faith journey, which clearly has holes in it from, you know, disbelief, unbelief, as you grew into the pastor's wife that you became. I'm very, very honored that you shared your story with us today. And I'm very, very proud of how far you've come and that you've allowed God to manage despite the fact that you want to hold the steering wheel. I'm really, really, really proud of you.
Thank you. And I'm really grateful and thankful to be on your show. I've really enjoyed it myself.
I'm glad.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. And we ask the audience, if you, this has blessed you, if someone came to your mind, we pray that you just pass this along to them and then they can encourage them and others. And with that, we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow us on all the socials at God's Goodness Podcast, where you can find the latest and say, hey, it's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through any of the links in the About section, or of course, by praying for us, as well as sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds us why we do this. Until next time, remember, God is always working. Miracles are real, and your breakthrough could be just around the corner. Keep believing, keep expecting, and don't forget to share this with someone who needs hope today. We'll talk to you next week.